Excuse me. It's good to be in the service with you tonight. It's a special honor to me to be able to preach at my home church. I don't get to do this much, but I appreciate Brother Phil even thinking of me and considering me. It's a great honor. I got some good advice since I've been here the last 15 minutes or so. One fellow told me, he says, listen, preach about 30 minutes, but if you got anything important to say, just say it in about 20 because everybody else will be gone to sleep by then. Then another guy says, he's heard about a guy in seminary, and he said, preach about Jesus and just preach about 15 minutes. So taking that into consideration, I'll try to be as brief as I possibly can. If you'd like to read along with me in the scripture tonight, I'm going to be reading out of the book of Isaiah chapter 9. I was been trying to study the book of Isaiah some, and I love the Old Testament because it really gets really down to where the rubber meets the road. You know, God tells the people what they need to do. God tells people what he's going to do, and God tells them if they don't do it, that he's going to chastise them and punish them. And it's the same thing, of course, in the New Testament, but the Old Testament is just so full and so rich, you know, and it's got a lot of prophecy in it and talks about the Savior coming, and that's what I like. I'm going to try to preach about Jesus, and I'm going to try to preach about 15 minutes. So, but in Isaiah, chapter 9, my main text is going to be, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But if you do some research on this and you read a little bit about it, it was a bad time. It said, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as it was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously affect her by the way of the sea and beyond. These two countries here were the furthest northern tribes, and the Assyrians were moving in and taking over the northern kingdoms. There's a lot of things going on. The people, they walked in darkness, he says, Isaiah says. But the people that walked in darkness, he said, have seen a great light. So this particular verse here is talking, the first verse over in, chapter 7, in verse 14, he says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He said this was for a sign, and he was giving this to Ahaz the king, because Ahaz had made a pact with the Assyrian government. He was dependent on politics and deals and making trades and doing things like that to get protection, when God wanted him to just depend on him. And God told him, he said, Ahaz, just tell me what you want and I'll do it. And Ahaz wouldn't make that decision. And so God said, first of all, it was to him the first. He says in verse 14, the Lord said, shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name as Emmanuel. But the you here in verse 14 becomes plural after Ahaz rejected God's offer. You see, God took the initiative first with the nation of Israel. He brought them out of bondage. He walked them through the wilderness. He gave them rock. He gave them water out of the rock. He gave them manna from heaven. He gave them the quail. He done all those wondrous things, and all those things he done for the nation of Israel. God took the initiative. And here God has taken the initiative with Ahaz in the kingdom of Judah. But Ahaz just flat refused to obey and to listen to what God said. And then here you see in chapter 9 is that their salvation. The first one, like I said, was for a sign. And verse 6 is for salvation. You see, God not only provided for Ahaz and the nation, he said, just ask me what you want. He said, but I'll tell you what, you wouldn't ask for what you wanted. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And then here in verse 6 of chapter 9, he said, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful And I want to preach tonight about that name wonderful about Jesus Christ. It starts out, it says it's employed of what God, never what man has done, only what God has done. Wonder, a person, thing, or event that causes astonishment, admiration, and marvel. It says wonderful, that causes wonder, marvelous, amazing, great, unaccountable things in Hebrew. It's very good. It's excellent. It's fine. Not merely is the Messiah wonderful, but he himself is a wonder. When you think about Jesus Christ and his life and his death and his burial and his resurrection, I'm going to talk about that a little bit. But you think about him and what he is and who he was. He's the God-man. He's Christ Jesus. He's Jesus Christ. You know, Christ Jesus is his heavenly name or his Masonic name. And Jesus Christ is his earthly name. So you see, he's the God-man and he's holy. He's deity. He's righteous. He's justice. He's everything that we ever need to be and ever will be. But you see, because of what has happened here, because of the sins of the people, because of their stubbornness and self-will, their idolatry, and all the things they've been doing, Jesus Christ had to tell them, you know, he says, you've been walking in darkness, but a great light that will dwell in the land, the shadow of death. You see, it wasn't only dark on the outside. It was a spiritual darkness that had overtook the nation. They were under such a load, a burden of sin. He even talks here about the yoke being broken the yoke. In verse 4, he says, for thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulders and the rod of the oppression of that day of Midian. Listen, Israel was under such a burden of sin and under such a heavy load and such a yoke, not only on the outside, but also on the inside. And listen, that's where sin really affects us. We can see it on the outside in our lives, but some folks don't even know what kind of burden they're under until they've had the chains of sin broken because Jesus Christ come and died on the cross because he was wonderful and give his life for you and I. If the thought is that the child is worthy to bear these names and that they are accurate description and designations of his being and character. The following names are descriptive of the child and deserve to be born of him. These four names, I never heard them preached before. I was sitting there reading this, and these thoughts started coming to my head, and the phone rung, and it was Ellen. It said, Phil wants you to preach for us Wednesday night. Well, they had to call the service off. So I've had all this time to sit around and think about this. Boy, that'll make you nervous. I'm telling you it will. If I could have went ahead and preached that night, I'd have probably been all right, but I don't know about now. But the Messiah is not merely someone extra extraordinary, one who is his very person and being is a wonder, one who surpasses human thought and power. He is God himself. He is God himself. And you see, when you think about it, it's incarnation of God. This is who wonderful is. The mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. You see, all these other names are this is the footing for all the other names that's named after the name wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. You see, it's upon this wonder that he is. His life, his everything that Jesus done and did is a wonder to me. Because he himself is wonderful, the Bible says. It says, and to us a child is born, a son is given. Unto us. Us. Us is us. It 750 years before it ever happened. Think about that. 750 years before this ever happened. Isaiah said, unto us a child is born. You know what that covers? That covers every lost person in all humanity that's ever been, that's ever going to be, and that it will ever be. Because Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ bore our sins upon himself. He was a man of grief and sorrow, as Isaiah said. He said, he bore our iniquities upon himself. No wonder he's a wonder. So when you think about a child is born, for us a child is born, a son is what? Given. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, not only did God have a son, but he gave his son to us that we might have eternal life, folks. You see, we couldn't do anything on our own. Israel, the only thing Israel could do was trust God and obey God and do what God told them to do. That's the only way they could do anything about their sins. They had to keep the sacrifices. They had to keep the law. They had to follow all the feasts and all the other things they had to do. But Jesus said, or God said, I'm going to send Jesus. And he's going to take your sins away. He's going to cleanse you of your iniquity. He's going to be the wonder of wonders. He's going to be my son, my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He said, a child is born. A child is talking about, of course, his humanity, but a son. He's a son, all right, but he's not like any other son that's ever been born. You think about his birth. You think about when the doctors told my mother that she was pregnant, there wasn't no angels present to tell her. They wasn't the Holy Spirit of God that come and spoke to her and told her that she'd be anointed by the Holy Spirit of God, and this thing that she would conceive would be a holy thing. You know, I was just born. I was just born like everybody else is born. You see, there's never been anybody born the way Jesus was born. He was conceived with the Holy Spirit of God. He was the promised seed of the Father from Genesis all the way through, even through Isaiah, all the way through the Bible. No wonder he's a wonder. So when you look at it from that perspective, like I said, it was 750 years Isaiah prophesied this prophecy. He just didn't see the things that was going to be in between the time of the fulfillment of the prophecy. He didn't know all those things. He didn't know about all the things that was going to happen. He knew that Israel was in a lot of trouble. He knew Israel had to turn to God and they wouldn't obey God. He walked around in his strip from his top up, preaching the gospel and telling people they needed to repent to show them how bad a shape they were in, spiritually and physically. But they still wouldn't heed what he said. But you can see here that through all this, that God has provided a lamb for us, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, that you and I could have eternal life. Unto us a child is born, a son is given. And his name, the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful. He is truly the wonder of all wonders. A child is born in wonder and will be given it. It says, like I said, the angels came and announced the birth of Jesus. The shepherds, they come, the magi, the star in the sky, the gold and all. Never man has been born like Jesus was born. And then the wonder of relationship with the Father. He said, the Father and I are one. If you look at Jesus, you see what God is. He's the image of the invisible God. That's what they said in Hebrews. Listen to what it says in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he has made all the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath made himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. You see, Jesus Christ is a wonder, folks. He's the very image of God himself. He's God in the flesh. We couldn't see God. The only thing we knew about God was that he's a spirit. God's a spirit. And if you're going to worship God, you must worship God in truth and in spirit. You see, but God made it for us that we could send his son, Jesus Christ, that you and I, that he would die on the cross in our stead, that you and I could have salvation. So when you think about his relationship with the Father, you think about his life. Never a man lived a life like Jesus lived. You see, Jesus had no sin. He knew no sin, and he did no sin. But you know what? You and I were born, we were born in sin. We come into this world sinners, but Jesus Christ never was a sinner. He took upon himself our sins, but Jesus Christ never sinned. Jesus Christ walked and lived the perfect life here on this earth. That he was our example for us to follow, us as Christian people and us as believers. That's the kind of life we're supposed to live. And we can't do it except through the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says, listen, that all have come short of the glory of God. All have sinned, and all have come short of the glory of God. But when you look at Jesus' life, he said, not my will, Father, but your will. Jesus went about healing people. He went about doing good. He went about all the marvelous things. He changed water into wine, all the miracles and all the things that Jesus did. But you see, it goes even deeper than that. Jesus come to heal the brokenhearted. He come to heal our hearts and our spirits and our wills and our life and change us and make us into what he wants us to be. And it's all a matter of just believing and trusting in the wonder of Jesus, because he is the Son of God. He's the precious Son of God that died on Calvary's cross for you and me. So when you think about the wonder of his life and the expressions and the things that Jesus done for us, I mean, he went further than any man would ever go for you. The Bible says he's the only man that laid down his life for his friend. You see, Jesus was a wonder. He's a wonder of wonders. He says his life, his death. Nobody ever died a death like Jesus died. Nobody. He was beaten. He was scourged. His beard was plucked. He put a crown of thorns on him. They mocked him. They pulled his hair out of his face. Listen, he was nearly dead before he even got to the cross. He was almost dead. They pierced his hands with nails, his feet with nails. They pierced his side with a spear. Nobody ever died like that. And it's all because you and I, because of this prophecy, part of this, these prophecies that's been prophesied, that a child is born, a son is given. You see, we needed Jesus Christ to come in order for us to have redemption and salvation. And his death, his burial, and his, of course, his resurrection. There's been people that's been raised again. Lazarus come out. He called Lazarus out of the grave, but I want to tell you something. Lazarus died again. Lazarus had to be buried again. But Jesus, when he arose, it didn't happen that way. He was seen by Thomas. He was seen by the people on the Emmaus Road. Jesus was a wonder, folks. He's the wonder of heaven. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Almighty God. He's the everlasting Father. You see, he is a wonder. And the wonder of it is that he loved me, that he loved you, and he loved this whole world enough that he was willing to die on a cross that you and I could have eternal life. The wonder of his resurrection. You know, hey, 3 days, they said, you know, seal the stone. Put the guards over there. Do what you got to do. Don't let him get away. Don't let nobody take him. Listen, you could have put a legion of people over there, and he would still come out of that grave. It wouldn't have mattered what man tried to do. God would have come out of that grave. There's no grave that was going to hold him down. No grave, no person, no thing, nothing was going to hold Jesus Christ in that tomb, because he rose again on the third day. And he ascended what? Just think of his ascension. How many people do you know that's been dead, that's rose again and ascended up to sit on the right hand of God? You see what I'm trying to portray to you here of who Jesus Christ really is? He is a wonder. He is wonderful. His song says he took the stars and he knows them by name. He hung the stars and he knows them by name. Almighty, all-powerful, all-sovereign God. And the wonder of his... Listen, he was there during creation. He was there when He was there when God said, just hang the sun and the moon and the stars. You know, we'll put the fish in the sea. We'll make the waters. We'll make man. We'll make everything just like it's ought to be. It'll be perfect. That's a wonder in itself, creation. How God could take dust and blow the breath of life into it and become a living soul. You think about that. I mean, you could blow on a piece of dirt all day long and all it do is just move out of the way. You see, God is wonderful. Some say that's supposed to be put together. You know, I was telling Billy come up and asked me, he said, what are you going to preach on? I said, well, I'm thinking about preaching on Isaiah. But I was looking for a song, His Name is Wonderful. And you know, it goes, His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He is a mighty King, ruler of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. So when you think about Jesus, when you think about His work, His redeeming work on the cross, you think about His sacrifice on the cross, you think about the shame and the agony and the pain and the things that He went through. You think about how wonderful He is that He loved us that much to do all that for us. Without Him, I would be nothing. Without Him, surely I'd fail. Without Him, I'd be drifting like a ship without a sail. You see, He truly is wonderful because He come for us, all of us. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. Thank you very much.